So what's your reaction to all the pushback about the complexity of people and the sheer size and nastiness of the thing?
Vipo is not our language, so usually, you know, I feel pretty comfortable defending it, given that it's really been created by Microsoft and IBM.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of FUD going around it. You know, the three type of FUD we find out is either people saying, oh, it's too simplistic, it doesn't work, or people saying, oh, it's too complex, or people saying, oh, it's only limited to web services. And the reality is none of those things are true. I think it's from a pattern perspective, and there's been some academic research on this, you know, comparing it with other things. Given that historically it inherits from XLang and WSFL,
mm-hmm.
it has a lot of flexibility. So the flexibility, the thing is, it's too simplistic argument does not work, or the fact that it's not mature, I don't think doesn't really apply.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it's complex, I think, you know, you're solving a complex problem. I mean, you know, as you said, you know, parallel processing, asynchrony, the fact that you have things timing out, the fact that you have to manage exceptions and make those things resilient. It's not a trivial exercise, and, you know, people are doing it because there is a big business value to automating those and building those composite processes, but
right.
it requires some complexity. But
isn't it true that some of that, though, is actually, or maybe a lot of it is actually coming from integration of it into an XML web services framework, right? I mean, there's a bunch of stuff around schema and around XML data.
So that's the truth. I think the truth and the ugly thing that, you know, people do not like to talk about this. I don't think Beeple itself is complex. I think basically that XML schema is complex.
Uh-huh.
And the reason why XML schema is complex is if you take a real, you know, world example where GM is trying to trade with, you know, either their dealers or their partners,
mm-hmm.
the documents are complex. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can't really go and change their business and tell them, hey, why don't you exchange a hash map, or why don't you do things that are simpler? So I think in that sense, it's, again, it's more complex. But, you know, that's where I think there are good tools like XSLT, XQuery, XPath that are evolving to try to adapt to that complexity. And the beauty of Beeple is it doesn't create its own, you know, assignment and data modeling language.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of leverages those things, and as those things evolve by their own, this thing will automatically, you know, leverage these things. So I think that's the key the benefit of web services over EBXML is that the web services is a much more composable set of standards, and each of them will get stronger over time,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, do a better job of capturing the 80-20 rule. But at the end of the day, we need to really solve the customer problems, and those are not simple problems.
Right. So you mentioned that that there may be a misconception that Beeple is tied to XML web services, whereas it's really not. I guess, you know, the way it looks to me right now is that there are indeed a bunch of people who are bridging legacy EDI protocols, be they FTP or, you know, what have you, right?
Yeah,
But that, you know, the price of admission to, you know, the web services fabric in general, and to Beeple in particular, is indeed SOAP and schema and, you know, the suite of things around XML web services, right?
Yeah.
So, it is, in one sense, inextricably tied to those things, which would be a good thing. And on the other hand, it you know, is being bridged to the legacy world by a bunch of people who are kind of creating these, at this, if you will, at the edge of the web services network, you know,
sure.
are bringing in legacy stuff. Is that a fair way to talk
sure.
about?
And so usually, again, I think there's the key question is how you bridge into those things. And I think the area that is less well understood but has tremendous value and, you know, when explained to customer resonates really well is that you have binding frameworks. So I don't know if you're familiar with WSIF, Web Services Invocation Framework, which is an Apache project.
I've, looked at it. I don't have a deep understanding of it.
I can send you a link. It's a really fascinating project. And Sun has taken WSIF and created JSR 2.8 called Java Business Integration.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea of a binding framework is that if you take a WSDL, SOAP is only one type of binding.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy for you to create your own binding, and what they call provider.
Yeah.
And that basically becomes a standard way of really creating an adapter. So you can still use the native protocol, native data, and you can have adapters, smart adapters, but
mm-hmm.
those adapters still have the benefit of describing their interfaces using a WSDL interface. So they have their own binding, but they have a WSDL interface.
Okay.
Which means that tooling that really expect to talk with web services will consider those things at the design time as, you know, services that have structured data input that can have, you know, message exchange patterns that are a bit sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
But the adapter does all the translation on the fly, and therefore there is no overhead associated with Hope. You can have, again, leverage if you have a messaging backbone on the back end, or
right.
if you have EDI, you can do that. And again,
but from the perspective of the Beeple engine, it's expecting to see WSDL's SOAP schema, right?
It's expecting to see WSDL, and it's expecting to see XML schema.
Okay.
But it doesn't expect to see SOAP.
Okay.
Beeple only deal with the interface. It doesn't really care about how the binding is done, and I think that's another of the benefit of the language.
So it is WSDL and schema that are the kind of the core things.
Absolutely. Okay. And so as basically, you know, WSF is, I think, already mainstream. We see it a lot. We see a lot of adoption, you know, core web bridges and other type of bridges. But I think this, as this becomes, but today it's only one way kind of synchronous at the WSIF. What Sun is doing with JSR 208 is taking WSIF and really making it both asynchronous and enabling the APIs for providing a binding, or, you know, what they call a service the binding component to be standardized.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of way, that really provides for the first time a first-class web services messaging as part of J2EE, which is very similar to what Indigo does.
Yeah.
But, so all these things are very interesting, and I think coming together and are very clean. So it's not just so you're hacking up this thing. I think this thing is becoming clean, and as there is a standard around it that emerges. Today we have an open source kind of de facto standard, and which is WSIF, but I think as this becomes part of J2EE, you know, a lot more of the people that are building adapters today will do it towards this interface, and therefore, you know, people will be able to reach out not only to SOAP web services, but also all these other kind of native transport, native format services.
Okay.